Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. You know, I would like to begin this message this evening, y'all, with the title, as we honor the month of family unity and exhortation, we find y'all at the forefront an undeniable point of doctrine. I'm referring y'all to the doctrine of sin. This doctrine of sin, it reveals, that sin, alienates us from God and from one another. And because of this, please accept as a title of our message this evening, The Banished Brought Home. Once again, the title of our message this evening is The Banished Brought Home. Our passage this evening, will be coming from 2 Samuel 14th chapter and the 14th verse. One of the consequences of King David's sin with Bathsheba, it was the devastating effect on David's family. Truly, the sword never left this doorstep. One son, he sexually assaulted his sister following an episode of deceit. Amnon, his love quickly turned into hate, and he forced Tamar from his apartment, thus compounding his evil deed. Absalom, a handsome young man, loath what his brother had done to his sister, he has abided his time until an opportunity came for revenge. One day it came. Word came to David that all of his sons were killed, but it was only Amnon. Not only did David lose one son to death, Absalom fled the country. Insight into David's heart is given. But Absalom fled and went to Gusha and was 3 years. And the soul of the king longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was confident concerning Amnon, seeing that he was dead. 2 Samuel 13, 37 through 39. Nobody knew David more intimately than Joab, captain of his army. He perceived that the king's heart was towards Absalom. 2 Samuel 1:1. And he began to make plans to bring Absalom home. Joab, he ranged for a wise woman from Tekoa to confront David with a story which was approximated Absalom's situation. She claimed that one of her two sons had killed the other. Her whole family demanded that he be killed, which would mean no person would be left to carry their family line. David, full of sympathy, he assured the woman her son would not be killed. As the Lord liveth, there shall not be one hair of thy son fall to the ground. 2 Samuel 14:12. Then she asked permission to speak a word to the king. It's of great interest, that this woman knew God, and her uttered one of the most powerful things and the most true that was ever said about him. Words that are among the most potent in scripture and full of memory. And the woman, she said, "Wherefore then hast thou thought such a thing against the people of God? For the king do speak this thing, one which is faulty, and that the king do not fetch home again his banished. For we must need die, and our water split on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither do God respect any person, yet do he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." 2 Samuel 13:14. This is the whole redemption revealed in a sentence. Man is banished from God by his own sin. Nevertheless, the banished one is not abandoned by God. His love is unchanged, even with his wrath kindled against his people. His love will not leave us. But how can the banished one be saved from being an outcast? The answer is that God, he devised means. Now, you know, although David did not devise means to fetch home his banished one, Absalom, of whom he longed each day to be brought back to him, you know, God, he devised means that his banished return to him. Now, you know, let's consider the banished one and how they are brought back home. And let us also be mindful, that each and every one of us are considered God's banished ones. Genesis 3, we read, how the serpent beguiled the woman, and she sinned. Now Adam, he came along, and he sinned willfully with his eyes open. And Adam, he was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, she was in transgression. 1 Timothy 2:13, Adam sinned willfully, maliciously, and deliberately. As God had warned, the moment he ate of the forbidden food, death came. Not physical death of the body, not even death of the person's soul, but death to the spirit. And we'll remember he is trichotomous. He's spirit, body, and soul. Genesis 2:7, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The real person, composed of the spirit and soul, lives in the body. The body is the house in which man lives in. Disobedience is sin. When Adam sinned, his fellowship with God was broken. There was separation. Adam, he passed down to his offspring the affliction of sin embodied in the human bloodstream, whereby as one man sin entered the world and death by sin, Romans 5:12. From the day of Adam's sin, we're all conceived in iniquity, Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Man has sinned and fellowship has been broken. From the divine viewpoint, man is a rebel to God and the government of heaven. The result, is banishment from the fellowship and presence of God. But God, he still loves us. We see God's heart in this matter. And the amazing thing is that there is God's marvelous grace in this story. God, he did not give up on man, but immediately, he began to prepare a way for man to be restored to fellowship with him. Even in the Garden of Eden, we see God's desire to see man saved. He came in the early morning and in the cool of the evening. Where art thou? Genesis 3:9. This voice ringing out of the Bible, it has been his cry every day since. Man had sinned and fellowship had been broken. Man could do nothing to restore this fellowship. Now, though the grace of God's provision had been made, an innocent animal had to be slain, shedding blood to cover their nakedness. God made provisions. And he made a promise, that one day, the seed of the woman would come forth and defeat the serpent. Genesis 3:15. The Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of time came as our lamb and shed his blood for our redemption. The Lord is not slack with his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter 3:9. Proclaiming what God has done, is worth preaching. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 4:6-8. off the oil. We think of what it costs to be a Christian. But think rather, would it cost God, to provide means to bring us unto himself? But none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters cross, nor how dark was the night that he went through. Earth, he found the sheep that was lost. Your God made a way whereby sinful man may be reconciled to righteous God. You're those still among the banished. We must understand, the provisions that God has made and those who are saved. We never grow tired of remembering with thanksgiving his provisions. So let us, note some doctrinal truths. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ was given by God to save us. Now, some of us, we may think, how can a man who is marred by sin get into right relationship with God? He has only to come to Christ. Come to Christ, and he will save you. There is no other way. I am the way, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus left ivory palaces of heaven and came to a world steeped in terrible sin to be persecuted, to witness, and to die for us. He came, to ransom us. He took our sins upon his shoulders and bare in his own body our sins. This is the world's greatest story. Christ died for our sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give life a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. God's righteousness, it demands, that sin must be paid for, and that is without question. Jesus satisfied God's justice. Sin was paid for on the cross. The plan of God, number two. God, he planned it. And Christ paid for it, and the Holy Spirit executes it. The Holy Spirit, is God in the world today. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit, is to convict of sin, make conscience sin. During the upper room discourse, just hours before Jesus was crucified, he explained that he was leaving and that the Holy Spirit would come to them and be their helper. In Christ's introduction of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, he shared, and when the Holy Spirit is come, he will convict the world of sin, of unbelief, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Number three, the preaching of the gospel. For seeing that in wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. As the word is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit provides unction to bring it alive to minds and hearts. Number four, the Bible. The Bible, it doesn't tell us everything we want to know, but it do tell us that which we need to know. We are to preach the word which is provided in the Bible, and we're not to take away or even add to the message of the Bible. This message is clear and plain. God made man, but he didn't make him as a robot. When man chose to disobey God, the fellowship was broken, and man was alienated from God. But God, he didn't give up on man. Rather, he made provisions for man to return to him by choice. Someone has said, that the Bible, is the roadmap from earth to heaven. Somebody said that the Bible, is God's love letter to man. The preacher preaches, but he or she, have nothing to preach, if God had not given us the Bible. The church. A local church, is to do what Jesus Christ would do if he was still in this world. The church is the body of Christ. Local churches have been established and given the mandate, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Matthew 28:19-20. Your salvation, it depends all upon meeting God's requirements. You'll thank God that salvation is obtainable. Why? Well, number one, because it is God's will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die?" Ezekiel 33:11. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. Number two, because Jesus died, for everyone. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. Jesus, the Savior of all men, everywhere, to be represented. 1 Timothy 4:10. Number three, because the Holy Spirit invites us. "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come unto the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Isaiah 55:11. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. The Son of Man, is come to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. The sacrifice, it had to be perfect and without fault or blemish. The Lord Jesus Christ, he met God's requirements. Number four, the cross. This is where the sacrifice was given. "For Christ also has once suffered for our souls, for it is the blood of the maketh the atonement of the soul." Leviticus 11:17. It was the attraction of Christ on the cross that changed the life of the great sinner John Newton, who dealt in slave trading, who wrote Amazing Grace. "I saw one hanging from a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his lingered eyes on me as near the cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to me with his death, though no a word was spoke, my conscience and own the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had split and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where can my troubling eyes be hid? For I the Lord has slain." A second look he gave, which said, "I freely all forgive. The blood is for thy ransom paid. I paid that thy may live. Oh, can it be upon the tree the Savior died for me? My soul is filled, my heart is thrilled to think he died for me." Obtaining salvation, is as easy as ABC. Number one, A, acknowledge. No man can be saved except a sinner. The beginning point, in obtaining salvation, it is to admit, that we need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Two, B, believe. Another word for believe is faith or trust. In order to be Savior, we must believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10:9. The resurrection, it is the authentication that Jesus was God's Son, that he was who he said he was. And number three, see, confess, and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. Romans 10:9. You're just prior to the specific doctrine of believing and confessing laid out in Romans 10:9. Paul, he points out that salvation is near a person as close as his heart and his mouth. The heart here, it's not our blood pump. Rather, it is a part of a person which thinks and feels and makes decisions. In the heart, one believes and come into the act of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. With the mouth, a person shares what he has done in his heart. On this evening, we have reflected on the means that God has provided that his banished not be expelled from him. The means, they're activated only by the decision on the part of the sinner. So wherever you may be, you can come to Jesus just as you are and receive him. The means are activated only by the decision on the part of a sinner. So wherever you are, whoever you are, you can come to Christ just as you are, receive him and confess him before men and believers in Christ. Let's show empathy and compassion. And let's all bring our banished back home. And may God bless you. And may God keep you is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.